Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast brought to you by Shooters and Nagoya. I'm John Gibson on location with you at Devil Craft in the Kanda area of Tokyo. Along with me is Jim Allen.
Hey, John, how's it going? Good to see you here.
How's it going? That's a good question. Yeah, it's good to be here. Good to be back.
Yep.
I had quite a long break. Thanks for tuning in to the show, everyone. And thanks for the well wishes for me and my family. Anyone who has a family knows that things happen, issues happen, and I appreciate the well wishes, and also want to give a shout out to Michael Westbay for giving me a shout out.
Wow, too many shout outs going around here. I need my earplugs.
Yeah, well, we better shout or we won't get recorded. So, not that, you know, this is a great place. It's a great place for deep dish Chicago style pizza, and they they're going to be making their own beer sometime this year, but they have a huge
supply of different kinds of local brews here in Japan. So come on down, get boozed up, get some great pizza, have a good time.
Have a good time. That's the key. On the show tonight, we're going to be talking about Yu Darvish.
And he is the man of the hour.
And some of the other Japanese big league imports. So let's start by clearing the bases.
Hey, that's new.
Hey, you like it?
Yeah, that is different. Now, where did you get that?
That came from Simon Winiger. He's in Switzerland, and he and my sister developed the music that we use for the opening and the closing, and I asked him to come up with a couple of sounds for us. So,
right.
That's one of them. We'll hear the other one sometime in the future. But thanks a lot for Simon. You can find him at Simon. Well, I'll give you the information later. You can find him on the internet, and he can take care of your musical needs if you need anything.
Musical needs. That hotbed of baseball music, Switzerland.
It's going to cost you, though. Now, let's see. I call this guy the smoking gun. He's really smoking. He's smoking a lot tonight.
That might explain the T-shirt.
Darvish. Yu Darvish.
Yu Darvish.
With the Rangers. Big news all over the place.
Now, what's with the smoking gun nonsense?
Nonsense, he called it.
Did I use the word nonsense? Foolishness? Silliness? Good-natured banter?
Good-natured banter. Well, this kid, when he was a rookie and a big stud coming out of, what was the high school?
Tohoku High School in Sendai.
Was caught, actually photographed, smoking in a pachinko parlor.
Right.
And he was underage. So he was suspended by the club and blah, blah, blah. But he ends up a year later being a big... Actually, it was later that season.
No, he went 5-5. He spent much of his rookie year on the farm team rehabilitating from an injury. He was rehabilitating then. He'd gone to a mini camp at the end of the season in Okinawa. I believe it was in Okinawa.
This was 2006, though.
This was 2005.
Five, that's right. Okay.
And he hurt his shoulder in training. And he missed much of the season. He went 5-5 with a pretty mediocre fighters team. And he missed much of that season. Missed his high school graduation ceremony because of the smoking. Was really frowned on, and but he.
But then he came back.
He came back.
2006 playoffs, won the clincher that got him into the Japan Series. Beat Kazumi Saito.
In
the second round of the playoffs.
Wasn't Yagi won the first game won the second game? I think Darvish started the first
You're
game.
You're right.
Yagi won, but they were both 1-0 games or 2-0 games.
You're right. I stand or sit corrected. You are correct.
You're sitting? Yep, and I was glad they won because it meant I could have more drinks that night instead of going home to pack for Fukuoka. Don was in Sapporo. I was hoisting some Sapporo. Hoisting some Sapporos.
That's hoisting. Let's personalize it. Well, we're going to start with him. He made this international news. He's been on the news in the States. He's been on ESPN. He's been all over the news here in Japan, of course.
Right.
And he's one of a long line of pitchers who have gone over there, but he is one of the guys who actually we talked about this in the office, and you didn't talk about it on the show that you guys did, you and Michael Westbay did in December,
right.
But I wanted to mention that.
Yeah, John said we forgot some salient fact about Darvish's potential posting fee. I felt like
the market had been established a long time ago with Daisuke Matsuzaka, and that he basically grades out a little bit better than Matsuzaka, and that if you're going to compete against the Yankees, that you're going to have to pay a lot of money to do it. And I just figured that if Matsuzaka got $50 million was the posting fee, that certainly Yu Darvish was worth at least that, if not more. And of course, again, the market had been set, and again, we're talking about the Yankees. So I just read the room, I think.
Okay.
And I was lucky. I got to admit, I was lucky.
Yeah, I'd been thinking. I didn't think he was going to make the Matsuzaka money in dollars. Largely because of the results that the Matsuzaka market may have been fixed in 2006, but it was broken. It's been broken since by Matsuzaka. So the lack of results after his second year, he's been fairly useless.
I was thinking that, you know, look, teams don't want to really take a huge financial chance on these Japanese pitchers. Who knows what you're going to get?
But,
and you talked about it before. You know, free agents always produce exactly the way they did before you signed
them. If they're Americans or they've pitched in the majors, unlike these Japanese guys who are unpredictable. So, you know, you can get a Barry Zito and you know you spent a lot of money. This is not personal. This is business. you can get a free agent like Barry Zito and you know what he's going to produce. You know he's going to be a top-line starter. If you pay him top-line money, you're going to get great results because it always happens in the majors. I can go back to Doyle Alexander or... You know, you name it, they
Don
always...
Spanhouse.
Yeah. Okay, so the point is, pitchers are unpredictable in general. Free agents are unpredictable. They're very often players in the down phase of their career. But here's a guy who's 25 years old and is the best pitcher in Japan. And some people think he's going to be one of the best pitchers in the major leagues. I think there is that he projects to being one of the best pitchers in the major league.
Well, you know, was he worth all that money? I say yes for two reasons. One, you know, essentially if you're going to get this team, the Rangers, has lost C.J. Wilson last year. They lost Cliff Lee the year before that.
Did they ever have Cliff Lee?
Well,
he rented him for a few months.
They rented him. At least he was on the team. He was there. He was part of it. He was in the World. He was in the playoffs in the World Series, and it was a stud for them, except when he
Except the World Series. That's rolling the dice. You go with your best stuff, and it happens.
Exactly. Those outings happen. So, you know, they need somebody to compete in terms of a number one, a frontline starter, which they believe Darvish can be.
Which is something that... other than Hideo Nomo, who's been a frontline starter for more than Hideo Nomo, Hiroki Kuroda, Yoshi was to some extent, he was a back of the rotation guy, but he was effective.
Yeah.
Ishii was for a short period of time. You know, you got to think if Kazuishi could do it for 2 years, you know, what can Yu Darvish do for 2 years?
Exactly. So, but the other thing is, I think, you know, if you're the Rangers and you're looking at the American League and you're sizing up your opponents and you're thinking, hey, you know what? If there's a guy out there who we believe has got the potential to really help a team out, why not if that team be us? Because we don't want to really compete against him either. We don't want to allow him to go to a team like the Yankees, who we believe we're going to have to beat to get to the World Series.
Well, I don't buy too much of that argument. I think I knew you'd argue with me. Because I just don't buy the argument is that you build your team about keeping players away from other teams. You build your team, and if it happens to be that the guy who suits your needs, or, you know, it's a little bonus. It's a tiny bonus. It's interest. You know, if 98% of his value is what you need and you get a 5% bonus because the other team needs him too, if he suits your needs as well as your opponent's needs and you can get him and they can't replace him, okay, more power to you.
Well, you know, the other thing is, certainly they wanted him and they knew they were going to have to pay a lot of money to get him.
Agreed.
But that's where I think the extra money comes comes in is that, you know, that extra money that you say, hey, look, if we pay X number of millions of dollars, whatever that is, whether it's the figures, let's say they thought they were, they actually thought they would only have to bid about $45 million to get him, and they said, let's go 51, 52 to get him, just to make sure.
Well, apparently,
that I think that, that money is well spent.
Apparently, they could have got him for about $42 million.
Well, okay, but I still say the money is well spent because you get him and your opponents, that you guys, a team that already has frontline starters, you keep them away from there. I think that's worth that extra money. I'm not saying that, you know, it's worth the money just to get him, to keep him away from the Yankees. I think it's worth the extra money to pay.
Yeah, because he still could be the next Kei Igawa.
He could be. Yikes.
I know.
Yikes. Although, yeah, well, I won't get into it, but I never liked Kei Igawa going over there. I didn't think it was a good fit. And
he was a horrible fit for the Yankees.
Yeah, well, we don't. I still don't see him pitching over there, but he still wants to do it, apparently.
Yep.
Come back home, son. Come back home. Anyway, another more famous podcast that talks about Major League Baseball games on a daily basis brought up a comparison that just struck me so strangely. I heard it when I was back home in California. They compared Yu Darvish to Brian Falkenberg of the Hawks.
And tried to do what? Tried to say Brian Falkenberg was this good in America and he was this good in Japan?
Exactly. This guy had never pitched in the States, and this is what he has done in Japan. And this guy, Yu Darvish, this is what he has done in Japan. What can we expect him to pitch in the States?
He must be as bad as Brian Falkenberg was in the Major Leagues.
Exactly. I guess. I don't know. You know, I really respect that show, and I really like the work that they do, and Mr. Simon, I apologize, but I don't see what you're looking at there when there was a great comparison right there in front of, right on his new team, Colby Lewis, the guy who pitched for 2 years with the Yoshima Car.
Right.
He had fairly good success.
Two-time Central League strikeout leader.
Guy who keeps the ball down in the zone, a guy who throws fairly hard, used his hard stuff well. And he's pitching in that ballpark, and he's, you know, at the moment, I think he's going to be their number one starter now.
He's going to be their opening day starter.
If indeed Yu Darvish is not out of training camp, we'll have to see. But at the moment, yeah.
No, they've already said he's going to be the opening day starter, which is like a Japanese kind of thing to do.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for that.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, what is it, by the way, what is it about the Rangers Japanese strikeout leaders? Count them up. How many strikeout titles do Japanese League strikeout titles have they got on the Rangers pitching staff right now?
Not Central League, so Japanese.
No, I mean either league.
Either league, yeah, Japanese.
Central League.
Uehara won twice.
Yep.
Yu Darvish every year? Three times?
It seems like it. Tsuyuchi is two times.
Okay, so we don't have to worry about him, but
okay.
So we got Darvish 3, Uehara
2,
Tateyama 0,
and
Koji. No, I already said Koji. And Colby Lewis.
And Colby Lewis, 7.
That's 7.
Take that, Yankees.
Take that, Yankees.
So you know you got something nobody else has got in Japan.
Well,
in the Major Leagues.
I'm not sure I'm comfortable with him pitching in that park. And I say that because I think people are going to expect, you know, he's got this ERA under 2 the past 5 seasons, blah, 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 blah,
yeah,
blah. And they're thinking strikeouts and all that stuff. And it's such a different park.
Let me ask, who would you be comfortable with pitching in that park? Who would you say, oh, this is the park for he should pitch in and he will have better numbers than he does anywhere else?
You know what?
The answer is nobody.
Nobody, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not his fault.
It's not his fault. But his numbers are not going to be what maybe people expect. They're going to say, oh, he's having such a terrible year. And I'm thinking, no, you know, look at the park. Look at, you know, adjust the numbers. Think about the competition that he's facing as well. And think about the defense behind him. He's got a lot of adjustments to make. But that park allowed, well, there were 211 home runs hit in that park.
Right.
Last season, the most in the majors. And the Rangers hit, 283. They led Major Leagues in batting average, team batting average.
Okay.
They were almost 5 runs a game, which was third best.
Okay, so he's coming. Darvish is a guy who's given up 10 home runs in the past 2 seasons.
Right.
People pointed out, Kyoto News the other day pointed out that he had given up 5 home runs in the last season, and he was so special. But let me tell you, talking about a Japanese pitcher in last season is kind of a joke, because everybody who could, you know, get throw the ball on, to the catcher without it bouncing could get out.
So that counts you and me out, huh?
It would count me out, babe. So anyway, everybody was successful. So last year really doesn't count, except he did it the year before that. He's a great, great, great pitcher. Okay. Now, is he going to give up more home runs? Sure. Okay, but he's going to be out there competing against major leaguers, which is what he wants to do. This guy is a competitor. He lives to pitch. People talk about his conditioning. I was talking to the Yomiuri Shimbun's wonderful beat writer, Kai Nishimura, who's in New York now covering. He traveled to Arlington to cover the Darvish press conference. Uh-huh. And he said that he just lives to pitch. He lives to compete. His former manager, Trey Hillman, said the same thing. Says, you, Darvish, is all about competing. He's all about whatever he can do to be successful. It's not about what you, Darvish, is. What you, Darvish, is being defined not by how he's successful or how he competes, mm-hmm. but by being successful, by winning. So if he has something that doesn't work, eventually he's going to chuck it. He's not going to say, this should be working. It worked in Japan. It's the major league's fault that it isn't working.
Right, he'll make the adjustment.
Okay, he's not going to be Matsuzaka. This is my four-seamer. The plan is that it's going to be the best pitch in Japan. If people hit it, then something's wrong, but it's not me. Okay, so anyway, he's a competitor. Trey Hillman said that Yu Darvish's strength, other than the size of his hands and his ability to command his pitcher and his physical conditioning, is his ability to shut out every distraction. This is a guy who goes through the baseball season as if he had noise-canceling headphones on. If there's something he doesn't want to hear that's going to get in the way, he doesn't hear it. And he's a rock star, so he's good at that.
He's an even bigger rock star now. But, hey, look at this thing here. I mean, remember when we were in the office the other day and the TV news came on and they said...
Oh, yeah.
There's the one problem now he's going to be pitching in this park is that the wall is so much, it's about half the size of the wall that he was pitching in Sapporo Dome. And I'm like, the guy's not a fly ball pitcher. He really doesn't have to worry about that.
Well, he is actually a fly ball pitcher, but with an asterisk on his fly balls is that most of them are going to the infield.
Right, I think the question I tried to pose to you was how many of the balls that the outs that he got that were not ground ball outs and strikeouts were foul flies and pop-ups on the infield.
Right.
And I think you came up with a number like 591.
591, yeah. Darvish is a...
Over six seasons.
Darvish gets an absurd number. He gets an absurd number of infield flies. And he gets he gets a below average number of ground balls, but he gets this absurd number of infield flies. So he doesn't give his outfielders much work. He's in a perfect park in Texas. The only player to be better in Texas than him is Hiroki Kuroda. But he's going to be in a great park where we talked about Hiroki Kuroda. But these guys do great in the majors because they keep the ball on the ground. Yeah, they give up home runs, sure, but
it happens.
Playing in the majors. This is the kind of player you want as a major league pitcher. Now, does he work in the zone? He works high up in the zone. Okay, he's going to get tagged a few times when he thinks he's fooling people up high, or that he's not going to get high strikes the way he did in the Pacific League. So he'll adjust.
Well, he's going to get different strikes. I mean, he might get some other pitches that are off the plate that he thinks that are off the plate. He's got to learn the umpire. He's got to learn his catcher. He's got to learn the hitter. He's got to learn how the ball moves in that park. How he falls off the side of the mound.
The mound's different. The ball's different. The bats are different. Everything's different.
He's got to learn a lot of stuff. But he'll make the adjustments because preparation is Trey Hillman said.
Is what he does. He competes. Most of all, whatever he needs to do to compete, he's going to do it. He's big. He's strong. He's got the physical tools he wants to compete. Is he the smartest guy in the world? I don't think so. But hell, he's got all the tools to work with, so he doesn't, he can learn to do what he needs to do, and he's driven to compete.
Now, the one thing, another thing I'm worried about, I'm concerned about, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm putting my guts on you about my personal concerns about him, but you know, he's got a good
shortstop. I'm cheering up here, baby.
He's got a really good shortstop in Elvis Andrus. After that, I'm really not even sure who's a really good defender out there for him. You know, his catcher, starting with catcher, Mike Napoli was, I mean, he's basically run out of Anaheim by Mike Socha, who was a former catcher, because he didn't like some of the things that the kid did behind the plate. Of course, the Rangers got to the World Series again, second year in a row. Napoli hit his way, you know, through some success, but I'm not sure that he caught his way through a lot of it. And there are going to be a lot of adjustments with, you know, the catcher that he's got. Michael Young, a guy they really like as a batter, they need to find a position for him. I'm not sure who's going to be playing first base for him. I'm not sure who's going to be playing second base.
Okay, it's going to be welcome to the world of the major leagues. But
well, it's
going to
be different from what he had with the Fighters, which is a really solid defense.
They had a great defense. Now, but, you know, the thing about the majors is it's a different game. It's a different mindset. It's a different way of doing things. And, you know, Darvish has got so much going for him. And I think I mentioned this last year, that sometimes having a pitcher, a Japanese pitcher, as a reliever, it's like throwing a changeup, because the mindset is different, the pitches are a little different, the attack is different, and batters can't prepare for every pitcher in the world. You know, they may say, oh, I hit this guy last time, I'm ready for him, but so often it's just that shift in perception, that shift in what's coming is a little different. Well, Darvish has got all these things going in his favor. He's different, but he's got more tools than most of these guys. He's got more to work with, so I think he's going to be able to make a lot of adjustments. Some adjustments are gonna be a shock, but the real question is he gonna get over that 2-year bump or not? I don't know.
Well, we'll see. I mean, you know, there's a big difference of you know, this could be the physical aspect of pitching on 4 days rest as opposed to pitching on 5 or 6 days rest. Last year, in the second half of the season, he pitched on 5 days rest a lot, and his former pitching coach Masato Yoshii was talking on the news the other day and said, "Hey, look." In the past, when he was pitching on short rest, you know, we couldn't talk to him. He was really irritable. And
this is a guy who knows about pitching in the major leagues.
Yeah, and this is last season in the second half when he pitched on short rest a lot. Yoshii said he made the mental adjustment, and he was, you know, he was fine, and he was prepared for it. And Darvish himself said in the press conference, "Hey, you know, I pitched a lot on 5 days rest last season, most of the second half, and I handled it fine, so it would just be another adjustment." So, you know, he seems to be ready. He's mentally tough, too.
Sure, I think so.
And the other thing I heard from Yoshii was this is a guy who, you know, when runners are on base and when he's in tough situations, he still executes, he tries to execute his plan. He doesn't just go out and try to throw the ball past people or just say, "I'm going to challenge you with a basketball." He still sticks to the plan. He doesn't give in. He's going to do what he's going to do, and if the ball goes through for a hit, it goes through.
Right.
He's going to pitch the way he's going
to
pitch.
He has a fairly major league attitude in that respect. I mean, what they try to teach people in the majors. So it's going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun seeing how he's doing, and we'll be pulling for him because, you know, he's going to lift the standard. He's going to, you know, improve people's opinion of what's going on here in Japan, which is always a good thing.
Well, and, you know, put the Rangers on the map for sure. I mean, you know, certainly Japanese fans knew the Rangers, probably knew the Rangers, because of Uehara and because of Takayama last year, but they certainly are going to be buying jerseys and watching games now because of Darvish, and I'm just so glad it's not the Yankees.
Okay.
I'm just so glad it's not the Yankees.
Yes, as we, I'm sure we all do. Anybody who cares about baseball, I'm sure. Other than the people who like the Yankees and who like baseball and don't hold grudges.
But I think that's going to be a really intriguing race to watch the California Anaheim Angels of California and Los Angeles, whatever the name of the team is, playing a race, you know, the race with the Rangers, and how many games the Mariners mess up for each one of those teams as they're going for the American League West title. It's going to be
well. The Angels, we don't have a lot of time here to talk about them, but the other guys, a couple of teams too, also got new pitchers in the American League. The Rangers got Hisashi Wakuma, free agent this time.
The Mariners.
Did I say the Rangers?
You
Mariners.
Did say the Rangers, but I'm here to help.
Okay, thank you.
I do have a purpose.
Well, thank goodness for that. Okay, so Hisashi Wakuma, who backed out of playing for the A's for essentially the same amount of money he would have earned this past year with the Eagles. He's going to earn less money next year for the Mariners.
But he got a major league contract.
But he got a major league contract, and he's a good pitcher. He's a very good ground ball pitcher, not as extreme as Kuroda, and he can help. He has arm issues, and he's missed a lot of playing time over the last. When he's good, nobody's better than him.
Well, I've heard from sources that he's not tough. He's not a tough guy. I mean,
are you saying he's a wuss?
I'm just saying a paper cut might have him out for a couple weeks.
Okay.
I don't know that. You know, I'm not going to say. I'm just going to say paper cut 2 weeks. So, I mean, you know, if he can change his mental toughness, or he can improve his mental toughness.
Won't happen.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen either. But, you know, he's going to contribute something to that team. I mean, you know, he's a good pitcher. And, that team scored the fewest runs in the major leagues last season. So
he ain't going to help that.
Yeah, if he can help run prevention, he's going to be out there.
Right. For sure. Okay. So a pitcher, before we go stick with him, well, a pitcher who's a similar kind of pitcher, basically a location pitcher, a little less velocity, but I think a little better mental make, a little tougher, a little smarter, is with the Orioles.
Tsuyoshi Wada. From the Hawks, yeah, he went over there. And you know what, I think he's going to be the steal of this whole, I mean, you know, he was generally, figuratively, relatively is the word I'm looking for, inexpensive,
right,
considering. And I think he's going to have success over there.
Right. Now he's a guy where the park, if he pitched, if he brought his style of pitching from Japan to Baltimore, I wouldn't want him.
Yeah, I don't think that's
because
gonna fly.
He's a fly ball pitcher. He had that big outfield at the Hawks. They had a particularly fast outfield this year, other than when Matsunaga was healthy and he was playing in the left field. But they were pretty fast. They're good gloves. Got a lot of balls caught at the wall. That ain't gonna happen in Baltimore, but you know, John and I think agree that he's smart enough and he has the location.
He's smart enough, he's got good enough control.
He's got good movement, his speed is not all that up there, but
he changes rhythms, he does everything. I mean, yeah, he's gonna mess up enough hitters to get through, and he's left-handed, you know.
Right.
Left-handed seems to have a little bit more success. Well, not more success, but there's so much value. People put a lot of value on left-handed.
Well,
he doesn't throw very hard, though. He just doesn't throw very hard.
Well,
I think that's what people are gonna look at.
Yeah, his best fastball is about 91. Yeah. He usually sits about 90, 89, so. But he's got good movement, he's got great location, and if you can do that, and you're smart, you can learn to be. Somebody called him the Jamie Moyer of Japan the other day, or was that?
I didn't hear.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, he could be the Jamie Moyer.
But he could be the Japanese Jamie Moyer. Yeah.
He could be. Yeah. If he's still pitching in 20 years, we'll be calling Jamie Moyer or the American Tsuyoshi Wada.
Wow. I like that. We'll have to be around for that, doing a show, and then we'll bring that up and say, hey, Jim coined that phrase back in 2012.
Man, if I'm not using a walker, then I will be laughing.
Man, they'll be like magic walkers by then.
Okay.
Let's go to a position player now.
Well, we've got two.
Norichika Aoki,
right?
The former Swallow now. He's with the Brewers, and you know, he, the rhetoric coming out of Milwaukee when they signed him before he had his press conference was more of the sound of like he's a spring training invitee.
Right.
They have guys like Ryan Braun, who got a 50-game drug ban and might not be around the first half of the season.
Right.
Corey Hart, Nigel Morgan, whom you like.
Yep.
And Carlos Gomez. They've got those guys in the outfield. So Aoki doesn't seem to be brought in to be, you know, an instant contributor or somebody they're going to throw out there in the field. It looks like he's really going to have to earn his playing time.
He's going to have to impress people. And, you know, there was talk halfway through his negotiating process that the Brewers wanted him to come to the States for a tryout. And I think I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't work him out. And I'll tell you, if he's tuned in, if he's dialed in, he's got some pretty impressive, he is fast. And they may have seen something they really liked.
I'm not worried about his speed. I'm more worried about his maybe his coverage, his reading of fly balls, his arm, and then his batting, his approach. You know, he was not very aggressive. I'd like to see him be a little bit more aggressive. And you talked about his post box or mailbox size.
Got a tiny strike zone in that crouch. It's about the size of the hole on the tee when you're trying to putt on the green.
I'd like to see him really be aggressive out there, not worry so much about walking and try to hit his way on the base a little bit more, and then just be an aggressive player out there, attack the fly balls, attack the if he's going to be getting base hits and trying to keep runners from moving over, just be aggressive out there and be strong. Otherwise, he's not going to. I mean, if he's letting guys take bases and he's not throwing very well, then it's just not going to have any room for him in that outfield.
So I see him having the tools to be an everyday major league player for a lot of teams, but he's got a lot of work to do to make the adjustments. And this is the thing: he's got to make the adjustments quickly enough, or before you know it, he's no longer Norichika Aoki. He's suddenly Tsuyoshi Nishioka.
He's suddenly dude at the end of the bench.
Yeah.
He might be dressing out every day, going to the park every day.
Now, a guy who's probably his best position is going to be on the bench is Munenori Kawasaki, who is a spring training invitee got a minor league contract with the Seattle Mariners. I really like him. This is a guy I think who's going to make the roster, and he's going to make a minor impact in a couple of different ways, because he's basically got no off button.
Yeah, well, I look at it this way. He runs really hard, and he gets the balls and fires, with all his might to first base, and while he's running really hard, you notice that he's hustling a lot, but he's not really that fast, and his arm isn't that strong, and I don't really like the way he hits, so I don't know what he's going to do at the plate. I'm just not seeing him on the major league roster. That's me.
I see him. If I had a team, I would have him. He'd be the last guy on my roster, because he can do all these different. He can play a lot. He can play a bunch of different positions. I bet he could play the outfield. He would learn to play. This guy would learn to play the outfield. If they needed a catcher, he'd probably learn to catch.
That's probably what will keep him on the major league roster. And I would like to see him do it. And the other thing is, you need a guy like Rudy on your team.
Oh, go stop Rudy. Who are you, Rich Freeman?
You need a guy like Rudy on your team because he keeps everybody else sharp. At the very least, the coaches say, look, this guy, he doesn't do anything great, but he hustles fantastic. His hustle is fantastic. He does everything hard. You guys got to be like that too. And he might inspire the other guys to play hard.
I think that's fine. He's a positive influence.
And
I'll tell you, this has happened to former Pacific League outfielder Sota Gucci, now a current Pacific League outfielder looking for a job, was on the Cardinals roster and became a valuable, even though he spent a long time after he was 30 years old in the minor leagues. This guy hustled and hustled and hustled and learned and learned and learned, and he applied himself to the point where they realized, wait, he's better than a lot of guys who are sitting around on the major league bench twiddling their thumbs. This guy wants to play, wants to learn. We can learn something. They won a World Series with him. I think they lost a World Series with him too, and they won one. But the point is, he was a positive contributor there. And he was a better player. He was a better player in the majors than he was in Japan. I think Kawasaki can turn up his game a little bit by suddenly being the underdog as opposed to being the established star. I like him. I think he's going to be a lot of fun. I think the Seattle fans are going to. I think Eric Wedge is going to love him. I think the Seattle fans are going to love him. I think he's going to be on the roster all season.
Tacoma? Oh, you said Seattle. Okay.
Tacoma.
Good luck, Munenori.
Okay, so now we had one more position player who wanted a major league job but didn't want to play second fiddle to the rest of the Yankees infield, and that was Hiroyuki Nakajima.
It's the return of the Jedi, I suppose.
The return of the Nakaji. Which is Jedi spelled backwards in Pig Latin.
Okay, if you say so. this is a good thing for the Lions. I mean, I didn't really see it didn't make sense to me at all that the Yankees would bid for Nakajima and that they got him. It really was strange for me.
It was like they never expected to get him, and like, now what are we going to do with him?
Yeah, I mean, what is he? Is he going to replace Derek Jeter at short?
No.
What they, is he going to play third base and let A-Rod sit around and DH? I don't think every day. Is he going to play second? Robinson Cano, hello. I mean, there was no place for him on the team.
And the way the negotiations were, somebody wants you to sit on the bench, and I want to start. I want to work every day. And they said, how good's your math? You know, we need somebody in the ticket office.
You can do some work every day, son. How are your one-handed calculator skills?
We have an opening for a guy in program sales.
Well, you know, look, the Lions get him back. They've got some more imports coming in. We don't know. Of course, we don't know what they're going to do. We have to assume somebody's going to produce well for them. They put those young kids out there last year, and a lot of the young kids produce. I think this is like them getting a free agent.
I like the Lions. And I know you did. You liked them before I did, but I'll tell you a couple of things. The Lions getting Nakaji back is great, and I think there's going to be Nakaji's going to be like, oh yeah, I'll show you. I'm a bench player. Are you kidding me? He's going to have that season. Okay, they lost Tohashi. That's tough. I'll tell you one thing that's really interesting is I was crunching some numbers this week, and I won't get into the most interesting, but the one that's related to the Lions is this. I was looking for players who are most comparable to, you know, who's most comparable to who, and I was looking for young players, and one of the most comparable players to in Japanese baseball history at his age to Kazuyoshi Tatsunami is Hideto Asamura.
Really? Wow. They're going to be good. You know, that Pacific League, and we're going to get into some shows probably in March we'll start looking at the teams and break down the league races and what we think. But, yeah, that's going to be wide open with the Hawks falling back to the pack because they've lost so much. With the Fighters falling down a little bit, with losing Darvish, I think the Pacific League is going to be wide open, and I think the Lions are going to challenge, and they're going to be really good. So there you go, Lions fans.
Okay.
Next topic, something else, domestic. Saw a couple stories in
Warning! Godzilla approaching the mainland. Godzilla approaching the mainland.
Yeah, a couple of dailies had these huge stories about the possibility of Hideki Matsui returning to Japan, playing for the Yokohama Bay Stars.
Go Bay Stars! Go DeNA Bay Stars! Our new team.
DeNA Mugabe, whatever they're
going to call it. Whoa. You're making fun of the Bay Stars. That's not allowed.
I don't really see that
Michael,
happening.
Stop him.
I don't really see that happening. I mean, can you imagine an outfield with Alex Ramirez, God love him, and Hideki Matsui and somebody else running around in center field trying to catch everything that plays out there? Or you at least get the caroms off the wall. I mean, I just really, I don't
know. Well, Saeki's available. He played the outfield when he was 20 years old.
Yeah, he did. Like, yeah, before I came to Japan, maybe. But
that's right.
You know, I think he's better off as a DH, Matsui is, and you said you think the Yankees are going to get him, and I guess, you know, again, it gets them back where they were with having a Japanese player out there who's a high-profile guy who can draw tickets, but I don't think he's going to draw as many walks as he does tickets.
He will continue to draw walks. He's he was in one of the toughest hitting parks.
He's in Oakland, that's true.
He was in a tough hit, a terrible park for him, although he hit more home runs against the A's than he hit with them. Yeah. But he was very successful when they changed the manager, and I think he can make an impact. I think he's going to get a contract, and he's going to stay in America. As far as Matsui coming to the Bay Stars, this is, I think I'm detecting a pattern here with Yokohama. Let's say something. Let's make these pronouncements and get people interested in our ball club. And I think what happened was, hey, let's get Kimiyasu Kudo as a manager. Let's get could have been Nakahata. Nakahata's first name is
Kiyoshi.
Koji Nakahata. No, that's not right either. But get Nakahata as our manager. Let's throw. Hey, the Bay Stars are going to get Nakahata as our manager. Isn't that exciting? And then before when people get excited about it, we'll change names and get a real manager. The only problem was that he said okay before we could.
Oops.
That's why it happened in 30 seconds. He said, "Well, how would you like to be our manager? I'll take it."
No,
and
then we're
like,
"Whoa! Huh?
What are we gonna do now?
You're gonna suffer."
So some weird stuff is going on in Yokohama. They might well have decided that Matsui is their guy. Anyway, good luck, Bay Stars fans. I wish you the best. I hope that Nakahata turns out to surprise us all and be a brilliant manager. I don't see how it's gonna happen, but hell.
Stranger things have happened, right?
Yeah, stranger things have happened. I thought Hara was going to be a stump, and he's turned out to be a pretty good manager. So, good luck to you guys.
All right. Well, I mean, it's ridiculous, but it's ridiculously stimulating for that organization. And, you know, I'm just hoping they get out of last place. I don't care how they do it. And I really don't care who ends up in last place, even if it's my Dragons. I would like to see them win more than they lose, or at least finish 500. You know, they've got such loyal fans. I'm sure the fans would feel like they won a championship if the team finished 500.
You would bet. They did. After, they did a few years ago when they finished third.
What was it, 5 straight years of last place? I mean,
yeah, they're pretty pathetic.
Yeah. All right, well, shoot for the stars, dudes.
Okay, wow.
And you guys listening, shoot your way over to Devil Grout in Conda.
Yep.
This is where we're recording. It's a great deep dish, Chicago style deep dish pizza.
If you like your pizza, this is the place to come.
And I'm telling you, it's delicious. They have great beer, although, like I said, I'm
I tasted the beer. It was very good. And I think if you like your beer, come here and see how good it is for yourself.
It's a 2-minute walk from the south exit of Conda Station, just about straight out there. You can find them on the internet. Tell them you heard about it on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Even you won't get anything, no free drinks or anything like that.
You'll get a great welcome.
You get a great welcome, and we know that you're listening.
Yeah, that's right.
And again, if you guys have comments and you know you heard something on the show that you want to shout out about. Oh, another shout out. Uh-oh.
Stop shouting.
We invite you to send us in your comments via MP3 file. You can record it on an iC recorder and send it to the show, or you can download the software that I'm using called
Record it on your iPhone.
You can record it on an iPhone. There's a software called WavePad Sound Editor, which you can download that's free on the internet. And send it to yakyujohn, YAKYUJOHN, @gmail.com. Or go to our Facebook page and leave us a message there, and we'll get your voice on the show.
Okay, well, enjoy your baseball in the off season in the Hot Stove League.
Certainly, do so, and enjoy your player movements and all the other things that go along with it.
Okay.
Have a good one. Until next week, we'll probably be back next week, and then 2 more shows in February, and then we'll plan out what we're going to do in March. But we're going to break down the Central League and the Pacific League before the season starts. And
we'll break them down before they break down.
Before they break down. All right, guys. Take care. Thanks for listening.